So this morning, we're going to look at love, and even as we, you know, even this morning, I believe God has already shown His love for us in a very real way. Sometimes our circumstances and our things just, you know, over clouds and it makes our lives look so impossible. And when we come to Jesus, suddenly something changes. What seemed to be impossible suddenly is possible. In any case. So last week, Pastor Yankor, who were here last week? Okay, most of you. If you weren't here, go listen to his sermon on the YouTube channel. But sure, man, it was a good word. It was one that I needed to hear. If you didn't have to hear it, I had to hear it. It was good. But one thing that Yankor spoke about was the will of God versus the way of God. And in other words, there's some things that are very clear as to His will for our lives, but the way to get there isn't always the way we think. Sometimes we read the will of God and we think, yes, that is, you know, I can do this, it's easy. But the journey walking there is different. My journey into ministry was that I got born again in 1989 and I knew that I was called to full-time ministry. So I knew the will of God for my life. But His way was not how I expected it. I mean, I went to started studying and so on, and that didn't work out, and various things, and the process took 20 years to step into the will of God. So the way to get to where He's called me, I thought was going to be in a year or two, and it took Him 20 years to get me ready. Clearly, there was something wrong with me, but He had to chip in and build a few things in my life so that when I stepped into it, I was as ready as I could be, I guess. Because this Christian walk is always a journey, isn't it? We can never say that we've arrived.
Amen.
Thank you. So I think when we, as a church, if we can speak about, you know, the purpose for us gathering here is not just to have to do, you know, have something to do on a Sunday. It's actual fact, not really even about ritual or, you know, just doing stuff as we always do it. We grew up going to church and now we're just carrying on that tradition. But I think the purpose of church is, if we read Matthew 28, is that God's will is to see the world being saved. John 3:16, you know, He sent His Son into the world so that the world will be saved. So we know the will of God. But do we understand the way of God to get there? To see that being accomplished which is on His heart. And I believe the will of God is that the whole world will know. And the way of God is through love. Why love? Well, I think for one thing, it doesn't make sense in this world, right? I think, you know, if you love too much, you are considered to be mushy and weird and, you know, maybe even weak. But the love that God speaks about here is not necessarily the love that we understand. So Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, the guys come to Jesus and they've got a question, a burning question in their hearts. And they say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" Now, that greatest, greatest, or the most important. So which one is the greatest commandment in the law? Because obviously their idea is to ensnare Him, to trap Him, you know, maybe to get something against Him. And I think sometimes we have the same thing where the enemy comes against us, and and ask us questions of which the answer is actually quite clear in Scripture, but we don't necessarily remember or know that. But teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, just that first commandment already for me is like, whew. But think about it. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and with all your mind. So this is, I mean, all the bases are covered here. In other words, he's saying you need to love God with everything that you are. Alles. Kaufela. The works. That's a Sotho word, by the way. Everything. And I don't know about you, but isn't that quite challenging? If I think about the scripture too long, it kind of feels impossible. And it leaves me in a place where I'm going, but Lord, how do I do this? How do I love you with all my heart? It is certainly the desire of what I want to do. I want to love God with everything that is in me. My mind, my will, my emotions, my thought processes, everything. I want everything to glorify. And then he continues in verse 38 and he says, this is a great first commandment. And the second. Like the first one wasn't enough. He drops the second one into this whole answer. Which is the one I think they didn't expect. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The fact of the matter is, regardless of how you see yourself, you actually love yourself. If you didn't, you will not take care of yourself. Now, I understand there's people that have some real challenges with regards to this, but we all have that place where we actually take care of ourselves. And now he's saying, listen, I want you to love people just differently. I want you to love people. I want you to love God first. But it doesn't stay there. So it's not this isolated relationship just between me and the Father, where I'm living my entire life for Him in such a way, but there's a demonstration of my relationship with Him to those around me. So I take the love, the intimacy, the compassion, and everything that I receive from loving God this way, and then I dish it out. And then he ends, he says, on these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. Now, John 15, 13 says this, no one has greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. It's not a seriously challenging scripture. I mean, this is quite an easy one to do, I think. You know. This is one of those scriptures where topics will be nice in the Bible. What's this laying your life down thing? And I don't know if you are like me, but I realize that there are some things in my life that has happened that makes me hesitant or reluctant or makes this actually difficult to do. My own perceptions, my thoughts, my ideas, even how I see myself, my abilities or the lack thereof, hinders me from actually loving my neighbor in this way. You know, my own pursuits in life, the things that I want to achieve and everything becomes the driving force for living this life. And the way that I impact people, I think is not really how this should look like. To lay down my life for my friends. This is not even brothers, man. This is a broad group, right? And I think when we think of love And in the lack of the English language or even Afrikaans language, we don't really get what this love should look like. Because none of us sitting here will say that, you know, I hate people. Just like blanket. A bunch of weirdos. I don't want to be with them. You know, I think as we sit here this morning, we would say, but we love people. We love people. And I do love people. I'm kind of wired for people. Or do we just think we love people? Do we love people when it's okay for me to love them? And when they suddenly are not the people I want them to be, then I don't love them so much. You know, I might like them, but I don't love them. I used to say, oh, not used to say, I said at one point, you know, I love my wife, I don't like her that often. And I thought, you want to die young, boy? Don't say that to your wife. But the fact of the matter is, relationships is not easy, right? Yeah. Relationships are complicated. You don't intend to do wrong stuff, you just don't do something and then suddenly you're not loved. You know, then you're not the flavor of the week. I would take it from the nervous laughter that you are facing the same stuff that I'm facing, right? This love thing is this very thing that I want to be, and it's this very thing that's keeping me, I don't know, weird. But one thing is for sure, in that we know that we are loved. John 3:16 is just that scripture. For God so loved the world, which is you and me, by the way. We are saved, right? So we've given our lives to Christ, and so we are in this world. We were part of the world until we were saved. And God so loved each one of us. Can I just say that scripture has not stopped because you got saved? You know, it's almost if you've ever done a long distance race. Now I'm not built for that. Okay? I'm built to run through stuff. Come stand here langs my. This is built for walls. Jamie, I'll stand langs on. This is built for long distance. Zero wind. You know. I mean, we shift air when we start moving. All right? Don't care. I don't even know where I was going with that. But in any case, but we know that we are loved. We have been set apart. Each one of us has been made so differently from one another. Your life package that you sit here with is completely different to mine. Even me walking with my wife, we experience the same stuff, but sometimes we experience them differently. But I know I am loved. Then I guess it asks the questions. When I look at that scripture, when I look at John 3:16, do I love the same way? And I don't know about you, but this is where I kind of feel like I'm on the back foot here now. So I'm you know, sharing this word this morning, but I feel like I'm preaching from the back foot because I haven't arrived yet. I'm still part of the process of walking this way and wanting to walk it and live it and be it. And then this flesh gets in the way. And I'm on a good stride, man. I'm loving everybody. And then I wake up on the floor because I did something stupid. None of you, of course. 1 Corinthians 13. Now this messes me up. I've done sermons in the past about 1 Corinthians 13, and when you unpack 1 Corinthians 13, it is really loaded. I mean, you referred to it this morning, just the other list. Can't remember what the list is, but I know there's a list. You know? Who of you know there's a list in 1 Corinthians 13 of what love should look like, right? There's a long list. But it starts off like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Who of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit who speaks in tongues? Okay, so this is us. We are doing this. Alright? We are speaking in a tongue that is not our own. So we are doing this. Okay, see, so even when I do this, but I have not love. I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. In other words, you're making a massive noise. That's groot gras. If you do that and you do not have love, then you're making a noise. And you know, when I read this a week or two ago, it broke my heart. When I looked at myself, and I have to evaluate, when I look at Scripture and I allow Scripture to read me. Yeah? We all read Scripture. But it's different when Scripture starts reading you. And the Holy Spirit comes and He goes like, what is this? Can we talk? Now I read this. Now I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love. Then I'm just making a noise. And then He continues in verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers, I can prophesy. I can read people's books, man. And I can tell you everything that's going on in your life by the Spirit of the Lord. I've got prophetic insight into various things. And if I understand all the mysteries, you will be a very rich man. Because many people will come to you and say, what's the mystery? What's the answer to my mystery? Okay? And I have all knowledge. And I have all the faith. Now, sorry. This one is tough. Even if I have all the faith to remove mountains. Do you agree? This is what the Christian walk is about. This is how we live. This is how we walk. This is, you know, walking by faith is a thing in the Christian faith. See, even if I do this in a way that is absolutely magnificent, mountains are moving, you know, people are prophetic, receiving prophetic words, and it is amazing, and I do not have love. And then He says, then I'm nothing. This gets me. This gets under my skin. And then He says, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And it made me think. It made me ponder. And as a son of God, as a Christian, as someone that believes in Jesus, what is my love level? Am I full? Half? Hopefully not further down. What is my love level? Am I going through the motions, so to speak? Am I doing stuff because I guess it's the right thing to do and I see it in Scripture, you know, and I want to obey? Am I doing it from that place of love? Because God's will is that the world will be saved. His way is through love, in the way that we love one another, in the way that we love this world. And we are the ones who's going to change things by His Spirit. And I realize, as I've been thinking about this missions week, and listen, the missions week is uncomfortable because it's going to cost you some time and maybe resources and stuff. But even if we're going to mission, even if we're going to next weekend, even if you go this weekend without understanding that you are called to love, what will your day look like? What will your week look like? What will the missions week look like? Are we again just going to have like the select few that come? Because it's a select few that, that always come, the faithful few. Or is it us that believe in Jesus that are going to walk this out and see our communities and our places transformed? Are we going to step out in faith? Not because, you know, there's a missions week on the calendar, but because we love Jesus. And He loves the world. And He's not here, but I am. So I believe God's way of will is to save the world. And His way is for us to walk in love. And even if you read Corinthians 13, and I didn't put it up there, but it says this, love is, now listen to this, you have to just, you know, read this and go like, Lord, is this me? Okay? Love is patient and kind. Now, my answer to your question will be, it depends on when you ask me. Because I'm not always patient and I'm not always kind. I'd like to be, you know, kindness is a good thing. Love does not envy. Yeah, that one I can kind of, don't do that one. And then it doesn't boast. Oops. It is not arrogant or rude. Oops. It does not insist on its own way. Oh no, now this party falls out of the way. Because, you know, I've got some desires and things and plans and I want to see a few things happen. It does not insist on its own way. In other words, it backs off. Whew, come on. Now this next one. It is not irritable or resentful. Even in traffic. No irritability in traffic. Ach, bless you. Bless you. It does not rejoice with at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now that last sentence, come on. I mean, as if 1 Corinthians 13 wasn't tough enough, and then he puts in the last sentence, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. But who of you agree, if we can walk in such a way, if we walk in this love, what will change? Not just in my life, but what will change in the world around us when I walk in this way? Because I can tell you, when it's in the Word, it doesn't mean it's impossible to live like this. When I read this, I realize that love is not just a fuzzy, warm feeling. It's not just, you know, that, and now all it's good. Love is something that I walk in very deliberately. Love is actually who I really am. I am love. Why? As a born-again saint of God, child of God, I have my Father's nature. It is who I am. But it's not what I necessarily believe. Because if I ask you the question, are you love? Then you're going to tell me all the reasons why you're not that. You don't even think that you can walk in that. I don't always think I can walk in it. Especially when I'm irritable. Galatians 5:22 makes this whole thing for me differently. The whole thing. Because here's the thing, in Galatians 5:22, and you know this, he says, but. So if you read the scriptures before this, it lists the works of the flesh in who we used to be. And you're going to go read that list because it's quite an extensive list. Paul writes quite a few things there. He says, hey, listen, this is the works of the flesh. This is who I used to be. So he's comparing what he's about to say to who we used to be. And we used to be some people or people that are different than who we are right now. He says, but The fruit of the Spirit is love. And there I got hope again. I can do 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because it's a direct result of the indwelling presence of God in my life. This is not an impossible task. It is not something that when I read it, I go into an absolute depro because I'm not doing any of it. I can actually do it because it's a result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. That agape love, that unconditional, unselfish, sacrificial love that God has for me and you, that is dwelling in me. And like, that's not enough. And he goes like, there's joy too. And there's peace, and there's patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. I am loaded. If this was a weapon thing, I would have some serious bullets around my belt. Amen. I've got everything I need to walk this way. Not in who I am. Because my flesh wants to do the previous verses here. I want to do the works of the flesh. If I let this boyke loose, he's going to do... This flesh will do some funky stuff. But it's not who I am anymore. It is my history. It is my past. It is the stuff that Jesus Christ died for. It is paid for. Now I am love. And joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. I am these things because that is who my Father is. And His Spirit dwells within me. So I can walk it out. You know, 1 John 1, 9 says that we should not sin. But if we do, we've got an advocate with a Father that is praying for us. When I repent of my sins, you know, I understand this Christian walk is, you know, we don't always get the holiness thing completely right. But as long as I pursue it, as long as I'm running that race, as long as I want to finish that race, and I'm pressing in towards that goal, when I stumble, I can repent. But the one thing I think I cannot do is have the attitude of that's an impossible task. What was the Lord thinking when He had the Holy Spirit write that through Paul? Fortunately, we are not left to our own devices to do that. Otherwise, we would have become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and just made another laws on how to walk this out. But I want to encourage you this morning, this is who you are. This is who I am. And in certain ways, it's time for me to step into my new identity. Some of these things, I have to really trust the Holy Spirit to start laying them in my life, to work out the, you know, work out my salvation, work out the process, allow the Holy Spirit to change and transform my mind and my thoughts. That's essentially why I need to be in Scripture as well. So that my mind can be renewed. In actual fact, when I sit with Scripture and I read Scripture and I receive that truth, in your brain that pathways are being rewritten to understand God's truth and not from your own flesh anymore. There's something supernaturally going on. What we need to realize, the works of the flesh has got absolutely nothing to do with love. If you read the works of the flesh, it's all about me. Me, myself, and the two of us. My desires, what I want to do, where I want to go, why, no. Give you, and I can, and if you tell me that's wrong, I can justify why it's right. It's right. I'm in control of it. So we have the standoff between the flesh, which wants to do just what it wants to do, and the Spirit that wants to live a completely different way. See, love challenges my selfish notions. Love is focused outwardly. It's not focused inwardly. And if I want to love in this world, I need to be able to see what God is doing right here, right now. I can tell you this much. If you just have to look around to see how desperate the world is for Jesus. The morals has gone down the tubes. People have no sense of direction. They are pursuing stuff that leads to nowhere. They need Jesus. The opinions of man with accessibility to internet and all the rest of it is rife. People are believing stuff that is not biblical. And I understand there will always be those that choose not to believe it. I get that. But even as we sit here this morning, is we need to continually renew our minds and understand what God wants to do. You see, if I trust God to show me what He's doing in others' lives, it means that I have to trust Him with me. That He's going to take me where He wants to go. And I don't steer me where I want me to be. I'm handing over the reins to Him. Ecclesiastes 12:13b is one of those scriptures again, which is, it says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Sure. Do you want to know what your function is before God? Is fear God. Reverence, awe of Him. Stand in awe of Him. And then obey Him. And maybe something that you wrote down this morning. Maybe God has instructed you to do something. I want to encourage you to obey. If you didn't receive something like that this morning, tomorrow when God speaks to you, to do something, to pray for someone, encourage someone, to go somewhere, to do whatever, please obey. I must just say, to go is standard as a Christian. To go is standard. That is where we're at. Stay was never part of the plan. Go is the plan. You see, I don't know what our conviction is in the room. Do we expect people just to come here for God to send them supernaturally and then we'll love them? Or are we trusting God to go and bring them? Or must He just send? Are we only going to grow as a congregation in this community as our kingdom influence by waiting for people? Or are we going to go? There's conversations and stuff that you are having that I think when we think again on living intentionally for eternity, that you must in that conversation just align with God's purpose for that conversation to grab that person's heart, to introduce them to Jesus, and to change their life for eternity. You see, when we think of the will of God and we think of the way of God, then again, the way of God is not necessarily easy. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say, Christian walk is going to be a walk in the park, man. Come on, this is going to be fun. This is just you're just going to slide through. But I think Jesus showed us, God showed us, how to do this in the fact that He sent His Son first, demonstrating how what we should do. See, Jesus went. He did the go already. Now it's our turn. Our privilege. And I tell you, when this is fueled by the love of God in us and for us, then everything will change. John 15:35 says this, and it's not on there. It says, we should love one another in such a way that the world may know that we are His disciples. So yes, we need to want to love one another, and then we need to love Him, or the world, the way we were loved. So I want to encourage you. Next week, we are celebrating, thinking, remembering the most incredible moment in history, where our Savior died for our sins, paid for it. No outstanding debt. And there are so many that don't have that. And I'm trusting Jesus that in my own life, that that well of love will be unlocked in such a way that I can love people differently and walk with them and display the glory of my Heavenly Father to them so that they will know that He loves them. So that my life will... Man, if I can just bear one fruit, that will be a good one. Okay, joy is another good one. And peace. And there's some good fruit there. Let's stand.